listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We've got an action-packed hour for you this Tuesday. Man, oh, man, big stories in the NBA, Russell Westbrook, Harden, and we're going to take a different angle, I think, than many on Westbrook specifically. Also, Antonio Brown of my Steelers saying goodbye. What does that mean? And as always, the picks and information you need to watch tonight's biggest sporting events. Joined in studio with a chance to shine, Brad Powers, Fezzik, having a family day. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start here on Straight Out of Vegas. In the NBA, we are going to do something here on SOV where we're going to spend the entire first segment is going to be on one topic, and we'll give it the deep dive treatment, a 360-degree examination into Russell Westbrook, who set an NBA record last night, his 10th straight triple-double, and the Thunder's win over the Trailblazers. So, RJ, what are your thoughts on Russ's record, thoughts that could be different from what we've heard throughout the course of the day?
Yeah, and to me, if your radio host doesn't say, boy, that's complicated, Brad, kind of like sometimes on your Facebook, I'll notice that your relationship status, it goes, it's complicated. Yeah. Some things are complicated, and I get it. If you make it so complicated, it's boring, what's the point, right? This is supposed to be educational. You're supposed to learn, but you're supposed to have fun. Right? Fun is the way to start. So what we're going to do here is we're going to try to establish some truths, some things that we're pretty sure of with Westbrook. And I think the conclusion is going to make you think, wow, I didn't really think of that. And it is complex. So let's start here. Number one truth, what Russell Westbrook is doing, triple doubles, 10 in a row, two straight seasons that he's averaged a triple-double is amazingly difficult, not easy. Now, caveat, the possessions in the NBA have increased over the years. Now, there's ebbs and flows, right? You look back at points decades ago, there was more scoring, more possessions. But in the most recent era, and let's just use the numbers, in 2008, there was an average of 95 possessions per game. Last year, 100 possessions a game. So about 5% increase. So yes, you could say it's 5% easier to get a triple-double today than it was a decade ago. Well, ask yourself this question. How many people average 9.5 points, 9.5 rebounds, and 9.5 assists? Because if they did, let's give them the, you know, triple-double with an asterisk designation. I don't think anyone did that in my memory. Like, literally since the Big O, who actually did it, has anyone been 9.5, 9.5, 9.5? Now, as the years change in the 90s, when they were scoring a lot less points, it would have been more difficult. The simple truth here is no one else in the NBA is doing it. Supposedly today, as we sit here in 2019, this NBA talent pool is the deepest and the best ever. Agreed, Brad.
Oh, because it's a worldwide game. You're getting people from all different countries all over the world. No question about it. It's got the deepest talent roster we've seen ever.
And your global point is right on. Also, I mean, look at the Spurs with their shooting coach and look at computer programs. If it's nutrition, if all the things that allow athletes today, and if you want to see something amazing, just Google 100-meter dash world record time, and they show like Jesse Owens in 36 and each year that passes, and literally like high school seniors now would have beat Jesse Owens, like high school. Right. So everything's gotten easier, or let's just say the optimal athlete is more optimal. We know shooting, because of the repetition of practice and all the techniques. Larry Bird didn't shoot like Steph Curry, as much as I love Larry Bird. So if it's somehow easy to do what Westbrook's doing, then why isn't anyone else doing it? No one else is, and no one else is really coming close. So for me, as we wade through this complexity, RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, fact number one with Russell Westbrook is this is amazing and difficult. Now, fact number two is that stats matter when they lead to winning. Meaning you never hear anyone talking about the color shoes that a team, oh, look, the Steelers have 28% of their players with gold shoes. Well, why don't we hear that? Because it doesn't help you win. Now, if it's on the blue turf, maybe wearing blue, Fezzik would come up with some, oh, well, they got blue jerseys on the blue turf at Boise State. Yeah, we'll talk about it then, right? But in general, we don't talk about facial hair. We talk about things that lead to winning. Now, what leads to winning in basketball? Points, rebounds, assists. There's a reason a triple-double started. Was the idea that these are three things that show a complete game, with defense being the fourth. Remember when Hakeem had the quadruple double?
I think with blocks.
Oh, yeah. That's a number.
Yes.
Colin wouldn't like that one either. But the fact of the matter is, these are stats that lead to winning. And if you actually look at the numbers, and the pregame.com research team, Mackie leading the way with this one, really good insight. This is going to blow your mind. All right, last three seasons. So the 2 years that Westbrook averaged a triple-double, and this year now he has a 10-game consecutive streak. In those years, there's two possible sets of games. Games he had a triple-double, games Westbrook didn't have a triple-double. In the 3 years, when Westbrook has a triple-double, the team is wins 76%. OKC wins 76% of the games Russell Westbrook has had a triple-double the last three seasons. That is 71 winners, 22 losers. No triple-double, 45%. 57 winners, 70 losers. Now let me say that again. Westbrook, last three seasons, triple-double, wins 76% of the time. His team, no triple-double, 45%. Now, the idea that there's some kind of inverse correlation between triple-doubles and winning, well, the data goes completely against that. Now, I do think, though, there's some complexity, some nuance to consider, because in a way, what a triple-double shows you is that Westbrook is performing, he's engaged, and OKC needs Westbrook to be performing and engaged to win. So if a triple-double is a proxy, if it's an indicator of Westbrook's engagement, it makes sense you're going to win so much more when he's engaged and performing than when he's not. Makes sense. But here's the nuance. What about the times where the triple-double is being considered by the team, Westbrook in particular? Because I think you could make the case if a Bill James type, some stats guy, but undiscovered at this point, some basement guy is keeping some stat. And it's like, wow, I just found out Westbrook's done this with triple doubles. But Westbrook doesn't even know this stat exists. I think we could just celebrate. Once the stat came out, we would look back in hindsight. Westbrook would have been ignorant of those stats. And it would have been like, wow, look, this is a sign when Westbrook performs, OKC wins. But triple doubles are a discussion. Triple doubles lead SportsCenter. They blow up Twitter sometimes. Thus, the awareness of this stat, I think, hurts Westbrook. And this is what Colin talks about, is imagine at the end of a game, and it's like, okay, I need one more assist. Hey, let me pass it to you and take an open jumper here. There's 30 seconds left. Maybe the game's out of reach. Maybe OKC's winning big. But just the bandwidth, the mind space of that. What would Belichick think of that, right? Not much. Also, the other players on the team, when that's all they're hearing about is these triple-doubles. How does that affect the team? And even early in a game, imagine if Westbrook gets off really quick, gets 10 quick points and a bunch of rebounds, but not a bunch of assists. Does he now, even in the second quarter, start to think, how can I get more assists? How do I get the ball to people? And so maybe passing up open shots in order to max his chances at assists. The idea that none of that is happening, I think there's a good chance some of it is.
Oh, yeah. Last night, a great example. Paul George had the soundbite and was talking about, hey, Westbrook, you know, pulled him aside a little bit for Westbrook's last assist and said, hey, I'm, you know, one short of getting this triple-double. And Paul George was like,
now, what was the score at that point?
The OKC was up.
Exactly. Yep. So some people might say, doesn't matter, right? They won the game. Other people are saying, why is this what we're spending our time and energy on?
There were highlights from either last season or the season before where you could clearly see Steven Adams in position to grab a rebound, backing away so Russell Westbrook could get the rebound.
And now you got to wonder again, what kind of, you know, the old saying, you play like you practice. Now we're getting to the point that even in games, you're not playing for optimal chance of winning. So the two things we know so far with Russell Westbrook is what he's doing is amazingly difficult. And when he's really engaged in a game and performing, it's much, much better for OKC. And a triple-double is a sign of that. But it also seems only logical that an emphasis on the stat is something that can be a distraction that takes away from winning. When we come back, we're going to ask a question that seems absurd, but it's not. Is winning really what sports is about in 2019?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will take another look at Russell Westbrook's record from last night.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 53 degrees, and the neon is chugging.
So, RJ, we were talking about Russell Westbrook's record, 10 straight triple-doubles that he set last night in their win over the Trailblazers. We've established it's very difficult to do. We've established that Oklahoma City usually wins those games. We've also established that it seems logical that it could be a distraction. What else have you found in doing your research and looking into Westbrook's record?
I got to tell you, as a gambler, and we talk about this all the time, you've got to know the game you're playing. And oftentimes with betting, for example, you can bet on WrestleMania. And all the time, with all the hits I'll do on various radio stations, it's like, what are you talking about, WrestleMania? And it's like, well, think about it. What are you betting? You're not betting on athleticism, Greco-Roman. You know, can you really break Ric Flair's figure four? Look at his calves. Uh-oh, Lex Luger's legs hurt. No, that's not how you would handicap that. You handicap it by the storyline and the writers. One of the most famous prop bets of all time was in 1980. Who shot JR? What were you betting there? What were you handicapping? The writers. So you always got to define it. And to me, you got to wonder if the assumption that old school media has, 40-somethings on the radio like me, is winning is what it's all about. It's the ultimate goal. You got to wonder, is that true with the current generation? What is the current generation driven by? Getting on SportsCenter with dunks or whatever? It's fame. It's number of followers on Twitter. It's Instagram. And think about just the idea of social media. In business, they call it gamification, which is you take something that's not naturally a game and you gamify it. If you work somewhere where there's a sales board and they've got the top five people and you're listed and every day they update it, well, you walk in and you get, if you're number one on that list, you get a little dopamine hit, right? That is very simple gamification of something that's not really a game.
Coffee's for closers only.
And you, in third place is steak knives. So the fact of the matter is that in this culture, it's numbers that lead to numbers. The number of points, triple doubles, touchdowns leads to Instagram follow numbers of followers, etc. Think about that. It's numbers that lead to numbers. Well, wait a minute, RJ. Winning is what matters. Well, let's look at the most winning franchise in the modern era, the Patriots. What's Tom Brady most famous for?
Supermodel wife, good looks.
You think he's real good looking, Brad?
He's high. He's,
I mean, that's, I mean, you know, if only Fez was here.
I love Jimmy G.
Right? I mean, listen, that's just a sign of masculinity, is you can admit that a good looking guy's good looking. I appreciate it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just about winning, because what about all these other players that's won a lot? Oh, well, Brady's got six. Okay, fine. But if Venintere was on the team the whole time, they probably still have six. Yep. And what would his fame level be? Now, Gronk, pretty famous. For what, though? All right? Randy Moss is pretty famous. He was on those Pats teams, except how many Super Bowls does he have?
Zero.
And how many Pats are more famous than Randy Moss?
Brady.
Yeah. So if Edelman shaved his beard and delivered pizza to your house, would you recognize him? Probably not. You'd say, that pizza guy's in pretty good shape, but you wouldn't necessarily recognize him. So this, I don't know, mass delusion? We're all fooling ourselves that winning is what matters? It matters to me as a fan, and I think a lot of people, especially men of a certain age, fans of a certain age, are going to tell you winning is what matters. But you got to ask yourself if that's how these players are thinking. If it's basketball and the AAU culture, if it's what Colin calls player mobility. I get it. I get it. These players are very good at what they do. They should be well compensated. But it seems so one-sided. It seems so that there is no real sense of, okay, if this player does this, how does it affect the team? And when you look at a Tom Brady taking less money in order to help the salary cap, you would say, yeah, that's it. That's winning is what matters, no doubt. And the question is, how many people are doing that? And, you know, and again, not that that's the only way to do it. Right, I'm not saying somehow, because there's a lot of debate. Brady's hurting other players, by making that the standard. So if they don't, like Tony Romo doesn't want to do that, or I'm sorry, check that, Dak Prescott doesn't want to do that, so we shouldn't be an indictment. No, no, no. But for the most part, if you look at the actions and say this goes into the, it's for the team to win camp, and the other one bucket is this is for the player's benefit camp, I think the player benefit camp is a much bigger bucket at this point.
Yep.
And I think you could make the case that the situation with Antonio Brown fits right in this story.
And it's funny you mention Antonio Brown, who made it official, according to sources talking with Adam Schefter of ESPN, that he has requested a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, RJ, this is your guy. This is your team. Where do we go now with the four-time first-team NFL All-Pro Antonio Brown?
I got to tell you, I feel like the old man on the porch. We should have some old man on the porch music. Yeah. What would that be? Maybe some like yacht rock. You know, let's see if our let's see how the Fox team can do. Get some yacht rock going, perhaps, if we can in the background.
Johnny Ramos would just put his iPod in. You're good to go.
There we go. So it feels like to me, it's like, well, wait a minute. These are the Steelers. I just was at the, you know, interviewing Hines Ward. Hines Ward told us on Straight Out of Vegas that he had multiple offers to play after the Steelers said, we're done with you. And he said, no, I can't put on another uniform. I mean, maybe this is a sign of my masculinity, but my heart fluttered. It was a little flutter. And, you know, I get it. I get the idea that these players are one in a million and they're supposed to benefit. But Lordy B, if you make $220 million or $190 million and that 30 is being driven by some loyalty to it. Now, I get it. It's got to go both ways. Teams that aren't loyal, I get it. But boy, oh boy, it just makes me feel like that how can I care about these teams when the players don't seem to really care? And then you add into, you know, guys are sitting for months at a time because, hey, Brad, it goes all the way to college with I'm not playing in this bowl game. And I get it, but how expensive is insurance? Get the insurance. Maybe the leagues need to create a fund where they pay for the insurance. And I think there's something like, or at least they help with, but boy, oh boy, if it gets to the point that the players don't care, how long are the fans going to keep caring? And Brown, to me, what was he, a fifth or sixth round pick?
Well, sixth round to
become one of the best wide receivers is an amazing, and by everyone's account, one of the hardest workers, if not the hardest worker in the building. Now listen, he's driving his car fast. That's a problem. Domestic abuse, obviously. I don't know all the details, but any of that, huge problem. But if you got this super hard worker that it feels like he wants to be loyal, or at least the kind of person that would be loyal, if even he's not loyal, then where are we going? Who is going to be loyal? Speaking of that, Brad, we've got the odds, RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking to Brad Powers, of where Brown ends up.
Yeah, these are from Bovada. And believe it or not, where will Antonio Brown be week one in the NFL season? Steelers are still the favorite, plus 150, followed by the 49ers, plus 285. Cowboys and Packers, 9-1, step below.
Oh, I hope he doesn't go to the Cowboys. Oh, I wouldn't like that at all. You know, listen, sometimes you can say, what would Belichick do? I often say, what would Ric Flair do?
I'm already a multimillionaire.
I mean, at some point, something has to be more important than money. But we'll close with this. And again, pregame.com research. Larry Bird and Magic, 1985. You want to talk about a pinnacle? Right, that's the glory days by almost anyone's account that was alive at the time. Now, inflation is inflation. So we're going to adjust their salaries in 1985 for inflation. Magic's salary in today's dollars in 1985, $5.8 million. Bird, $4.2 million. Adjusted for inflation already. It was less back then. In today's dollars, Magic 5.8, Bird 4.2. Right now, Westbrook and Curry are the two top players in the NBA salary-wise. Curry, $37 million. All right, so let's compare that. 5.8 for Magic, $37 million for Curry. Now listen, there's a huge difference. And oh, by the way, the number two highest paid player, Westbrook, $35 million against Bird's 4.2. Oh, by the way, Curry with three titles. Oh, look, winning matters. Westbrook, zero titles. So the question we'll leave you with for this segment, are we as fans saying, oh, winning is what matters? Well, for me, covering matters, but then winning. But saying that really matters, are we thinking about a game, rules of a game that just don't exist anymore? Because if it's about numbers, stats leading to Instagram followers, leading to cash, then maybe the game that Westbrook is playing is the right game for him. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 16 best college basketball teams and where the committee got it wrong.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's David Gascon.
Oh, Jonas, thank you very much for that eloquent introduction. We'll start things off in the National Football League. The Houston Texans just a few moments ago have released wide receiver Demaryius Thomas. He was owed $14 million for this upcoming season. He ruptured his Achilles at the tail end of 2018. Antonio Brown tweeted earlier today to Steelers fans, thanking them and saying, quote, it was time to move on and forward, end quote. He was also found guilty of reckless driving from an incident all the way back in November of 2018 where he was caught going in excess of 100 miles per hour. Former Mississippi State defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons suffered a torn ACL while training for the upcoming combine. He was projected to be a first-round pick in this year's draft. Major League Baseball, according to the New York Post, Mets ace Jacob DeGrom has informed the Mets he will not negotiate a contract extension during the season, although he isn't a free agent until 2020. Angels skipper Brad Ausmus says he thinks Shohei Ohtani should be available or at least around when his elbow surgery is fully recovered sometime in May. And the Miami Marlins have just signed right-handed reliever Sergio Romo. It's a one-year deal worth $2.5 million. Jonas, back to you.
Thanks, Dave. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of cash on a Tuesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, Jonas, we're going to get to the 16 teams NCAA committee put out, and Brad's got some mistakes that they made. But I think this Kyler Murray situation kind of fits into the narrative of the show.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, who made the announcement yesterday that he was going to pursue his NFL dreams. He had a contract with the Oakland A's to play baseball. And then things change. You know, you win the Heisman Trophy, and then you start to think, maybe I've got an opportunity at the NFL level. So the big question is, where does Kyler Murray, an undersized player, very talented, fit when it comes to the NFL landscape?
Brad, I think one of your strong suits, all the college knowledge, is that these players that you literally have been watching, many of them since high school, because you're a recruiting guy also, it helps your NFL stuff. And when we did our podcast this year, for the first time you joined us for the NFL pod, you're the anchor on the college pod. And I'll be honest, you know, we bet pretty big money on the pods. We felt like that, you know, it was a sucker time. You know, there's a famous story, you know, Phil Hellmuth is a really highly regarded tournament poker player, but he was never really highly regarded as a cash player. And there was a famous scene on High Stakes Poker, which was a great old poker show, in which Phil Hellmuth goes, you know, I'm so sick of you guys acting like, he goes, I might go to the Bellagio and put my name, you know, and just sit in the big game and show you guys some things. And one of the players goes, man, I'd like to see the list on that game. Like the people waiting to get to play Phil. Well, we were waiting for you, Brad. You actually did pretty well. So let's give you a crack at this without Fez here. How do you, from a Vegas perspective, look up Murray's potential in the NFL?
I would not draft Kyler Murray in the first round, but my expectation is not only will Kyler Murray be drafted in the first round, I think he'll go relatively high, and at least the early books have that. Kyler Murray's draft position right now at Bet Online, over under 9.5. So under means he would be draft before 1 through.
So right now we're saying there's a 50% chance that he's 9 or better.
Yep.
50% chance he's 10 or worse.
Yeah. And
wow.
Under 9.5, meaning he would be pick 1 through 9 is minus 200. So the expectation, Kyler Murray is going to be a top 10 pick. I think if you'd asked me this question 10 years ago, I'd say no chance. Forget first round. Forget the third round. He's not even a top, you know, 3, 4.
A project.
Major project. I think in today's NFL, he can be a successful quarterback. I have two concerns. And size isn't number one for me. It's actually experience. You look at the 10 best quarterbacks.
Yeah, but if experience is the problem, then he's going to be good his third year.
Yeah, but the successful quarterbacks in the NFL, the top 10 this century, all had at least 2 years of starting experience at college.
And it does bring up an interesting point. Maybe my comment about, oh, he'll be good by his third year is wrong because there's so few reps now with the new, or not new anymore, but the current union agreement. It's really hard to develop quarterbacks. Thus, maybe that's the story, is you got to develop him in college because there's not time as a team to do it at the NFL level.
Yep, and the second...
That's interesting. When has there been a developed quarterback? Meaning a guy who didn't play extensively until, let's say, even his third year.
Rodgers, probably.
Boy, and that's been 15 years ago. I mean, because even guys like Dak or Russell Wilson or Kaepernick initially who outperformed their draft position, they did it fairly early. But that idea of this guy sitting out, now you could say Mahomes did for 1 year, but this idea of a guy sitting and getting learning and finally be ready, it just seems to happen so much less since the new union agreement.
Garoppolo would be, I guess, another case, but that's, you know, he's still got some playing time when Brady got suspended.
No, that's a great point. That is a great point, Jonas. So let's say we should always just say other than Belichick, because again, he's going to be the one that figures out how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. But boy, and again, to some degree, we got to see Garoppolo do it for a while. But obviously he's, you know, again, if Fezzik was here, there might be a fight with any negativity about Jimmy G. But I think you're absolutely right. But size doesn't concern you.
Oh, Brett, it's the second concern. And look, everyone's going
to say. Because he was at Radio Row. I stood beside him and it dawned on me, if I took 2 seconds off my 40, that who knows, I could have played. No, but he is small,
historically small. So Russell Wilson is that small quarterback that's had success as of late. Kyler Murray is 2 inches shorter than Russell Wilson, and right now 20 to 25 pounds lighter than Russell Wilson.
RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, talking about small quarterbacks.
Don't get in the hands. See Fezzik was here.
And slow 40 times. Now, last question. Dan Patrick, part of the Fox radio family, Murray was on, and wow. Now, if it was the first interview he ever had done, you could say he's scared. Like, what did you guys think of that? I mean, it just seemed like, you know, I know Colin loves to talk about leadership and all that, but that seemed deer in the headlights, which doesn't make a ton of sense if you've done 100 interviews in your life. Would that, Jonas, would that cause you to downgrade him on your draft board?
I think so. And not only because, you know, maybe he's uncomfortable doing interviews, and that's fine. People get nervous when they're behind a microphone and
except
on a
he's
stage.
Done hundreds of interviews.
Right, but he kept looking over to his dad, and that would be concerning, especially when you see what's happened with LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. I just wonder if NFL teams may look at his dad and sort of how this is being handled and think, all right, we don't want to deal with that issue. We don't want the problem.
Well, this is a story that we'll keep you abreast of, but it is fascinating. Repeat the lead. 50% chance he'll be a top. Kyler Murray will be a top 9 pick. Speaking of top of the food chain, Brad Powers really stepping up without Fezzik here. Now, you guys might not know this. A lot of rivalry between these guys. Fezzik in his mid-50s, Brad in his mid-30s. There's a sense of the old guard, the new guard. And Brad only insists, it's in his contract, once a week that I play this.
He was the baddest cat around until I showed up.
That's how he, Brad Powers, thinks about Fezzik. You might think that they should work together. You might think that it's too much competition. Well, I can't control him. When we come back, everything you need to know about the biggest TV games you'll be watching tonight.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We are heavy on hoops for a Tuesday night. We've got a doubleheader in college basketball on ESPN. And we start tipping off in a little over 10 minutes from now at Rupp Arena. It is LSU at Kentucky. The Wildcats are a 9-point favorite.
The purpose of this, the last segment of the hour, is if you're betting, you want to know the picks. If you're just a fan and half of you don't even bet, we're going to tell you what you need to know to watch the games in an intelligent fashion. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, go.
Yeah, lean on this game is on LSU plus the 9 here. And for me, it's all about the spot here. I'm fading Kentucky. Why? It's a big game tonight for Kentucky, but the bigger game is hosting number 1 Tennessee on deck. And if it gets to the second half, is Kentucky going to want to get margin? I don't think that's the case.
Well, they're going to want margin. Are they going to put the energy in rotationally? Are they going to have their best players in to gain margin?
That's the question that'll have to be answered. And LSU's not.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's going to be answered here. And here's an LSU team doesn't get down on themselves when they've been down double digits. For the last 6 games, LSU's rallied from a 10-point deficit to win the game straight up.
10-point deficit or 10-plus point?
10-plus points.
Wow. So that's if you have a nice jumbo dog that gets down 17 and still is playing hard, that's very valuable. So why not a like?
Tough to fade Kentucky right now.
So this is one of those things, as a team, you think Kentucky's underrated, but it's a really bad spot for Kentucky.
Exactly.
And when you even those out, lean
LSU plus 9.
We keep it in the state of Kentucky, where Duke is at Louisville. The Blue Devils on pregame.com are an 8-point favorite.
And a lean on Louisville, the home dog here, plus the 8. Now, everyone's talking about how historically good Duke is. I don't think they've been priced that way on a game-in and game-out basis. I think this is the first time.
All right, so what you're saying is if you look at the future odds,
yep,
and this is from you, the second biggest favorite in the last decade at this point in the year is this year's Duke team. But on any given game, like against Virginia when they were 2-point underdogs,
yep,
they're being priced like a really good team, but not a historically good team. But you think now they've gotten more expensive.
Yeah, so after that big win over the weekend, win and cover yet again for Duke, now you're starting to finally pay that premium tax on Duke. For that, I'll lean with Louisville plus the 8.
We've got a doubleheader in the NBA on TNT. It's an 8 p.m. Eastern time tip-off in Philly, where the Celtics are at the Sixers. Philadelphia, a 7-point favorite.
Now, Steve Fezzik typically would do NBA. He's gone family day, but we got Brad Powers, who he's just doing it all, but putting him in a tough spot.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in.
Doesn't matter, Brad. Go.
Got to step up. How about I lean on the 76ers here minus the points? And looking at the matchup, big news out of the game. Kyrie Irving's out for the Celtics. He's worth a couple of points. And I agree with Fez's handicap here. Got to worry about some chemistry issues with the Celtics. Some of their young players are talking about possibly wanting to be traded. And if the Celtics can't beat the Lakers and the Clippers at home in really bad spots for those two teams, how are they going to rebound and pick themselves out without their leader, Irving, tonight? I lean 76.
Oh, I'd love to press the green button here.
Do it.
Producer Mackey, give me the current line, a fair line on this game. 6.5 is fair?
6.5.
All right. So let's think about this. Who's the home team?
76ers.
I'm joking. I actually like, so I'm getting 6.5 with Boston. You want this?
Yeah, I want it.
All right, we'll bet. And remember, guys, at any time, if someone says something here, if you don't like it, We can bet on it by just pressing the green button. It's green, and it makes that ka-ching sound. We got a $100 bet. Tomorrow, we can check in and see who won.
After one of you guys loses $100 on TNT, we've got the Jazz at the Warriors, and Golden State is an 8.5-point favorite.
And I'm leaning on the Warriors here, minus the 8.5. Check this out. Since January the 4th, the Warriors are 15-1 straight up, 9-6-1 against the spread. More impressive to me, average win by the Warriors, 15 points per game. This is a team that's playing historically great, at least right now, since Boogie Cousins come in the lineup. See no chance of them slowing down. I'm going to lean with the Warriors and disagree with Fez, who leaned Utah.
So here's what I'm going to – who cares about that game? I'm worried about our bet. here's what interests me. I think Boston has a bunch of young bucks that's looking for an opportunity. When Kyrie was out, how did they do in the playoffs last year? Exceptionally well, the young Celtics players. So I think whatever dissenter is, the motivation is going to be there. And this is the deepest team, the Celtics, in the NBA. On the flip side, if you're kind of a USA Today fantasy NBA fan, oh, one of the greatest starting lineups, blah, 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 for the Sixers. But as Brad, you've often said, integration of those pieces takes a dozen or more games. So the public's all excited. It's almost like a new coach in college. Public gets excited, but it takes a while for the team to get used to it. Wouldn't you say that's the case with the Sixers?
It is, but man, they looked awfully good on Sunday against the Lakers.
Boy, talk about recency bias. Yep. Man, oh man.
If my handicap on this game was, if the Celtics couldn't beat the Lakers and Clippers, there's no way they're beating the Sixers. You guys would have murdered me for being a Joe. And well, if Freddie Jonas, Fanny Pack.
Hold on a second. We wouldn't have murdered you. We would have offered to bet you exactly like I did for Brad Powers.
Of course. Guys, the Odd Couple is next here on FSR. We are straight out of Vegas. If you missed any of today's show, check out the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. We will be back on the air tomorrow to find out who won their $100 in Philly and Boston on TNT, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.